Like Maddie said, things are going to look a little different this morning. We're gonna open it up and do something that we haven't done in a long time. We've been talking about, and just to get us started, I wanna check with you guys. Maybe it's just me, but Carrie and I, you know, we're married, so we've been married 4-ish years, and we have these times that we go through where life gets just crazy. This week was one of those times, just crazy stuff going on and getting hit from every direction and feel like we can't get our head above water. I'm sure that one's not just me. And we have these times where we, as a married couple, we get to this point where we're like completely disconnected. We feel like we're on two completely different pages, and we're arguing back and forth. I know you can't believe that Carrie and I would argue, but it's true. Every once in a while, she argues with me. But we just get to this point, and it's so difficult, and we feel like we're disconnected and that we're just not joined the way that we're supposed to be. And it just takes time where we just sit down and communicate with one another, and where we just kind of just get everything behind us, get everything pushed back, and just spend some time just communicating and just being able to just join back together in that way and feel like we're connected again. And Carrie and I were talking this morning, and that was something that that we've kind of felt lately here, just because, not because of anything specific, but just because we kind of call it the summer slump. It's incredible how many people are blessed with the opportunity to be able to go on vacation. We have a lot of vacations that have happened this year. We've had camp. We have, you know, the two different camps. We had people that were out for 2 weeks that way. The things we talked about this morning that Matt shared that we've been praying for, it feels like we get hit with so many different things, you know. We've had some injuries, and we've had some illnesses and stuff that happens every day. But through all that, sometimes we feel like we feel a disconnect that comes. So it's something we've been talking about a long time, saying, why don't we have a morning where we're able to maybe reconnect a little bit? And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to give you guys an opportunity to reconnect. I don't know if you saw. Can anybody read what that says? Has anybody noticed that? Right. What is God doing? Matt put that up there. That's been up there the whole morning, whether you noticed it or not. And what I want to ask you guys is, what is God doing? What is he doing right now? I know what God's doing in my life. Well, I guess I claim to. You don't ever know fully what God is doing. And I know Carrie. You know, we talk quite a bit when we're not disconnected. I have, you know, my circle that I'm in contact with a little bit more. People that my path crosses with during the week, and I know a little bit there, but a lot of you guys I don't get to connect with very much. And so that's the question this morning that I'm going to present to you guys. What is God doing? We set up a mic right over here, and we set up a mic right over here. And what I'm going to ask you guys to do is, you know, if you feel led, if you would like to, please share with us. This is a time just for testimonies of what God is doing. If you have three words that describe what God is doing right now, bring us three words. If you have a 20-minute lecture on what is God doing, that's okay. We'll make sure everybody else uses three words. So whatever you would like to do, just as you feel led. Matt's going to stay up here. It's not a time to vent, but we just want to be able to extend that offer to you guys to be able to share what is God doing at Family Bible Church and in our lives. So as you feel led, just come on up. The microphone should be on, and share with us if you'd like to.
Probably a lot of you know, maybe not many of you know, I don't know, that August 22nd last year, my sons and I were at the mall and got attempted carjacked at gunpoint. Still kind of tough to talk about, but I wanted to tell you guys how God has healed me, is healing me, because this is not something that I will ever forget or take for granted, but sparing you all the details. She did hold a gun to us, and she was between me and my children, and I felt God in my gut talk to me. And I've always prayed for a moment like that. I wanted to hear God. I wanted to feel God. I didn't know if I needed that kind of situation. Apparently, I did. But when she pulled the gun on me and was between me and my two children, it felt like an eternity. I had no clue what to do. But God said to me audibly, I could hear him, and I still feel him in my gut. He said, "It's okay, daughter. The gun's not loaded." Now, I never told the cops that because I figured that they would want a psychological evaluation, but I knew the gun wasn't loaded, and I fought, and I won. I mean, she actually got a few good blows in on me, but I got the gun away from her, and got her away from my kids and got them safely back in our car. And I don't know if they ever caught them or not. I have not kept up on the situation, but it stinks that that had to happen to us, but so many good things have come from that. My children talk about God taking care of us, and I talk to them about God taking care of us. It doesn't get much stinkier than that. And even on bad days, I think, this is not a bad day. No gun was pulled on me. This is not a bad day. So, and being able to share my story about how this is what I always prayed for. I always prayed to hear God and feel God and know that He was with me. And now I know. I mean, He is in here, and I can hear Him, and I can feel Him, especially when I really need Him. So it's not something I can say I've completely gotten over yet, obviously. I've not been back to the mall, but if God wants me to do that, He'll let me know. And if not, I won't, and I'm okay with that. Shortly after that happened, though, I was asked to come speak at a MOPS group. I don't know if many of you are probably familiar with MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, and I was supposed to come talk to them about child development. And I got in front of them, and I had a whole PowerPoint planned and everything. I had the whole session planned, and I got in front of them and just saw all these young moms, and some of them had their babies in their laps, and we did not talk about child development. We talked about this, and they had tons of questions, and we talked about what I could have done differently, and I think they left that session probably a little smarter than had I talked about child development. So just so many great God moments have come from a terrible situation. So I wanted you guys to know that. So thanks.
Well, as you all know, about 5 weeks ago, I broke my leg playing softball. And before all this happened, I really wasn't sure how much support I was getting really in my life. Before all this happened, I actually went through kind of a depression area where I kind of felt alone and felt like nobody was there for me. And I don't think I really ever got the chance to really thank everyone from this church for all the support that they really gave me. Sitting in the hospital, I had a lot of time to think, so. But as soon as I seen Matt walk in, Matt and Bill come see me at the hospital. Matt drove all the way to Barnes just to see me. Made me start to think how it really doesn't matter what friends I lost during high school and that. But this church, I'm so glad I joined this church. I really am. It's because you guys give so much support and love, and just seeing everybody, how everyone's so friendly to everyone, and it's just, that really helped me through what I was going through at the hospital. Just seeing Matt come support me and Bill come support me at the hospital, and I just pretty much just want to say thank you all for all the support and all the prayers that you guys have given me, so.
Been nice, but to hear from all you guys while I went through my surgery, while I was recovering, you know, the girls would tell me you guys called, I got cards from you guys. As he was saying, you just feel how much love this room has and how much love this room can put out in a hurry. And before my surgery, I was stressing out real bad. I can understand very well. This is my 14th surgery I've had in the last 8 years. And this one here has done good to where my mind is free, to where God has spoke to me, opened up to me, and made me sit and realize while I was in the hospital recovering, what matters first. God is always first. Just make sure that's the one thing you keep on your mind. Second is your family. You can never replace the time that you lose with them. You can never replace the time that, you know, you get angry with them or you get discouraged, and, you know, you've got to put that all aside, and God will help you. You just ask Him. And, you know, I just want to thank the whole body for all your support, you know, with everything you guys have done for me, you know, since I've been here. I've felt welcome. I've met tons of people, tons of new friends, you know, and I just want to praise the Lord and thank all of you guys. You guys are great. You know, it's the Lord, family, and you guys. Then all those little things in life. You know, you guys are great.
I just want to thank God for giving me the ability to play music, because if I know without it, it would be harder to wake up for me in the morning and come here. And it gave me a commitment to something, and feels good to every week worship God through that way, because I know I haven't done it in any other way. So thank to you guys for supporting us when we're up here, and thanks Matt for keeping me around.
One thing Bill had asked a couple weeks ago was if anybody had a testimony or anything they wanted to share, and we've had some sharing today, which has been awesome. We have a few people that have indicated that they wanted to share their testimony, something a little that they've been thinking about and praying about, and one of those is Carrie Adolph. And if it's all right, can we go ahead and bring you up? And we're going to share this way, too.
Well, most of you know that if there's an opportunity to share something or to speak, it's not very hesitant for me to say, yes, I'll check that box. I've been really emotional this morning, so this is probably not going to help. But I just want to share a little bit. Your testimony can definitely be anything from the things that are currently going on to things that you're learning to just a little bit of how your journey even began. So that's kind of what I wanted to start with today, is just be able to tell you how my personal journey began, because it might be a little unique from some of you as well. I was not raised at all in a Christian home. My mom was married 5 times, my dad 2x. A lot of in and out, no stability, none of that. And just always had this like inkling, as people at school would talk about church a little bit and about God and little things here and there, you just hear that and go, I wonder what that's about. You know, and I would see my parents and see what they were going through and see the misery as my mom would be hurt again by somebody, or they would, there'd be guys in and out, or we'd play and seek and find things that we shouldn't find in closets and, you know, just those kind of things. And looking at this lifestyle, it's like, this is so miserable. And they're always looking for something, it seemed like, to fulfill them. Like if I worked harder and they were worried about money and worried about this and looking for the next relationship, looking for the next thing to make them happy. And I just really early in life decided, that's not going to be what I'm going to do, because obviously that's not working. So then I begin to formulate my own plans and visions and dreams of what that's going to look like. You know, well, if, you know, education, nobody had ever, my parents hadn't even finished high school. They hadn't gone to college. They had, you know, all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, well, if I reach those things, then that might fulfill me. If I serve other people, if I, you know, all these like lofty goals about what I wanted to do, wanted to be. And when I was about 12 years old, I got to go visit my dad in California, and they took me to, through a family member kind of thing, they took me to an event called the Harvest Crusade, and it was held at the Angel Stadium, and when I got there, Greg Laurie, as an individual, puts this on, and as he was speaking, he told me a story about King Solomon, which I had never heard before in my life, and now King Solomon was also somebody who wanted to search out what was going to complete him, what was going to make him happy. So he started trying things, you know, and he was telling me that, you know, he's trying wealth and became the richest man. And he thought relationships, again, might do that. So he had 300 concubines, and he thought wisdom might do that. So he searched out wisdom and became the wisest man. And he had all of these things. At the end of it, he said, it's all worthless. So here I am thinking, okay, so my parents' life obviously doesn't work. And if I do accomplish all those things, this guy who's tried them says, that's not going to work either. And so for me, sitting there going, okay, so then what is it? And then began to tell me for the first time about Jesus and who he was. And I'd known him like this little baby in a manger, but I didn't know who he was as an adult and what his life was like and what his purpose was. And so then began to share with me about his life and about how the fact that he came and how he healed people and how he had lived that perfect life and how he was so sacrificial and all these things. I'm thinking, oh, this is a great man. You know, and just that kind of aspect of, oh, he's a great man, a great teacher. And then from there, began to then introduce what sin was to me, not something I'd ever heard before. And it was not just naming off that, you know, list of things that are against God's word, but anything that's below God's standard of perfection, which was, you know, we all have that. We all have those things that we stumble in. And so in that, he then went forward to share the gospel with me and to tell me that the key to what Solomon was missing and what he came up with at the end was that the fear of the Lord is what's worth everything. And then being able to share how Christ took my place and died on the cross for me. And the hardest, best news I've ever heard, but was able to then that day go and give my life to Christ on the Angels baseball field, which is fun to be able to drive by every now and then and be like, oh, that's when that happened. But anyways, to be able to kind of have for the first time an answer and a hope, minus where it came from, minus what I'd seen, and be able to accept that and to be able to move in that way. Unfortunately, I did go back home to the same family, and that was a year where stepdad had left and mom became an alcoholic, and you raised your little sister, you knew what you do. And so it wasn't, I didn't have any way of knowing how to pursue the Lord, how to develop that relationship. I didn't know what that meant, what that was like. But that I can, since I've been, since I've been in the church, I'd look back now at that and I see it at a time as me comparing that to Abraham, where God chose Abraham and brought him from a place where he was to a place where he wanted to serve. And so in that five-year period, I moved from Michigan to California to Georgia, where I got involved in a church for the first time. And that whole time, even though I had all the freedom in the world to do whatever I wanted to do, God didn't give me, I didn't have those desires. You know, he kept me from so many things. I can look back and be so thankful that I didn't want to, you know, whether it was guys or drinks or, you know, whatever it was all open to me, and I didn't have those desires. I'm so thankful for that. But then in that journey from moving state to state to state, and got invited by a friend to their youth group and got involved in that youth group, it was the first time to really begin that relationship and really grow in that and really understand that. And like I said, I was 17, so that's almost 10 years ago now. Seems like yesterday, but 10 years ago now. And it's been such a neat thing to watch God since that time slowly restore our life and our family. And and I can say that God really chose to make a generational change in my family through me by his grace. And that year when I moved back to my mom when I was 17 and started getting involved in that and started growing in that and started understanding that, my mom came to know the Lord. And then my sister the next year and my other sister the year following. And it's just been a huge blessing to see her be fulfilled and her change and have us sit around a table now in godly marriages, being able to just to praise God that he can restore anything and he can reconcile anything, no matter how hard the journey's been. Gosh. So I just want to give a praise to God for definitely intervening at a key time in my life and then allowing my story and the testimony and the love affair to continue to now we have a restored life that's honoring his name. So.
I can't imagine how hard that is, because she tells me now that she's pregnant, it's hard to breathe anyway. So thanks for doing that, Karen. If you guys would, grab a Bible, flip over to 1 Peter with me. I'm not gonna share a 45-minute lecture on anything, don't worry. I've been in a church before where we had a special service, had missionaries come, and they'll do a 45-minute thing, and then the pastor gets up and preaches. So don't worry, we're not going to be here all day. But I do want to take us back to the Word this morning based on what we're talking about. If you flip over to 1 Peter chapter 3 with me, Let me see if I can get there. What I want to ask you guys is just to think about how you've been feeling this morning. We asked you, what has God been doing, or what is God doing? And then I came up and I said, you know, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. So how did that make you feel? Was it something that you were just, you know, excited about, you know, bursting to be able to share? Was it something that you were very scared of? Did it put a lot of pressure on you that didn't make you feel very good? A lot of times stuff like that comes down to who you are as a person. Some people just aren't public speakers. Some people would probably pass out if they came up and started talking in front of people. I know people like that. But what I want to ask you guys is can we take that a little bit further? Because this opportunity that we've all been given this morning is something that comes every once in a while, and it's great to be able to do. But an opportunity to share and an opportunity to speak is something that each one of us are given probably every day. And while this is important, you know, it's important to be able to share, it's important to be able to connect. Those things are great. Really, the more important thing is what happens when you're out of here, when you leave these doors, when you leave this church, when you're not around your church family, and you're given an opportunity. And I want to look with you just for a couple minutes at what the Word says about this, and hopefully encourage you, and hopefully encourage myself as to how we answer questions like this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 13, and look at that with me. It says, "Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." We're going to stop right there for a minute. All right, it says, it's talking here about those who harm you when you become a follower of what is good. In 1 Peter, he's writing to people that are a lot different than us. He's talking about harm. When we think of harm, we don't think of blows. We don't think of whips. We don't think of being beat and tortured or anything like that, because we don't have that here. But one thing that he's talking about here is actual physical beatings. All right, these people are being persecuted. It's not a very good time for them to be Christians. So that's kind of the general consensus of what's happening right now. So I guess it can kind of be hard for us to read that and think, well, you know, we don't live in China, or, you know, we don't live in these other countries where you're not allowed to be a Christian, where you're denied that freedom, because we have that. But what we do, guys, is when we read Scripture, we look at it and say, how does that apply to me? We take the words that are here and look at ourselves. So what I want you guys to look at it is who is he who will harm you for becoming followers of doing what is good? And it says, but even if you should suffer. All right? So he's not telling us here, when Peter's writing, he's not saying when you suffer. He's saying, but if you suffer. All right, what is the suffering here? In our lives, how can we take this and apply this to our lives? What is this suffering? I'm going to be very personal this morning, because this is something that personally affects me every day. And so for me, when I read this, when I look at suffering, I don't look at this harm as being beaten for doing good. What I look at it as is how I'm treated because of the way that I act, how I'm treated because of the choices that I make, how I feel based on those choices and on those lifestyles, if that makes sense to you. Are you guys choosing to do good? Are you choosing to do good in your lives, in your personal life? Are you choosing to do good in your work? Are you choosing to do good with your friends? Are we choosing to do good? Because the Bible's very clear. It tells us that with that comes tribulation, comes trial, comes suffering. And that's what I feel sometimes. It's not a horrible thing, you know. I don't have blood, you know, flowing out of my body because of what people do to me. But I get looked at a lot differently sometimes. All right, and a lot of questions come my way. And probably a lot of questions come your way too. Because people really want to know why we do what we do. You know, why don't we just go along with the crowd? Why don't we just do what the world wants to do? Look with me just a little bit further in 1 Peter. Verse 15 is where we left off. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." The NIV version, I believe, says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." And what we do there is in my mind, when we set apart Christ as Lord, it's in our minds we make this decision where we say, you know, it's not church. You know, we don't have in our minds that, you know, I do everything I do because I go to a church, because I'm a part of Family Bible Church, or I'm a part of St. Paul's Catholic Church, or First Baptist Church, or Highland Hope Church, or anything like that. It says, set apart Christ as Lord. All right, and in our minds, what we're doing here is we're establishing in our minds, he's calling us to establish in our minds, who is the Lord of our life? All right, and Lord is such a neat picture. We don't have it in our society very much anymore. But I look, you know, back in time, at what a Lord was, you know, the Lord, a person of respect a lot of times, a person of honor, a person that isn't questioned on everything. You know, a servant didn't question the Lord, you know, and say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Why don't you think about it this way? It's this respect, this adoration, this following. All right, and so when he says, set apart Christ as Lord in your minds, he's telling us, establish in your minds, who are you living for? All right, and that's what happens, because when we set that apart, when we say, I am his, and I'm going to live my life for him, then everything changes, because it's not about us anymore. Look in 15 again with me. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Let's read that one more time. It says, "And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Now, I love this passage, and I always come back to it. And it's something that I couldn't remember where it was, but I know that verse, and I always say to myself, you know, there's a couple times in Scripture where it says this, but be prepared. It says, always be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you. So I ask you guys this morning, the first thing is, have you set apart Christ as Lord in your mind? You know, is that something that you have decided, I am here for his glory, and I am here, and I'm going to live my life for him? The second thing that I ask is, are you ready to give a defense? Because when we talk about what is God doing, and we give you guys an opportunity, and I'm telling you, we have opportunities every day, and we need to be ready to give a defense. Defenses can be so many different things. I'm going to share some personal things that have either, questions that have either been asked of me, or questions that have been asked to some of my friends, asked to people that I have talked with. A lot of people have said, well, you know, people have asked me this. One that I'm thinking of is church. There's a lot of people that don't go to church. And sometimes if you're a regular attender, if you're a church person, you're going to be asked, why do you go to church? Some of our youth group kids get asked, why do you go to youth group? You know, why do you go to youth group every week? You know, why don't you do this and not go to youth group? We have so many answers that we can give them. And it's so easy to say, well, I just do. You know, it's so easy to say, well, you know, I like it. You know, it's so easy to not really dig into the root of why we do what we do. And what I want to challenge you guys is, we need to be ready, because those are awesome opportunities that we need to be ready to take advantage of. And it's a way that God can use us. Let me just share a few, and hopefully some of these things you can relate with. Hopefully you've heard them or can understand what to do. These are questions that people are going to ask us that we can use as an opportunity to share Christ with them. So that's the first one. Here's another one. Why don't you lie? I don't understand why you won't just tell this lie. This can be a personal thing. This can be a work thing. Why won't you do this? You know, yeah, it's slightly dishonest, but it's what you've been asked to do. Wow, what do we do in that situation? Are we ready to really tell people why we do what we do? How about this one? This is one that has come up before. You know, why don't you sleep around? This happened, you know, before I was married, I heard this. You know, are we ready to really tell people if that's the choice that we've made? Are we ready to explain what the reasons are behind that? There's so many ways we can just kind of push the questions away and not really answer them. But what an amazing opportunity to share with people how we're different, how Christ has called us to be different. Another one, I've been away so many times for work. It seems like every job that I take almost, they send me out of town for an unbelievable amount of time, and I sit in a hotel room by myself. And I always get to meet some great guys and get to spend some time with them and get to know them and have a lot of fun. But the thing that always comes up is, you know, hey, we're going to go get drunk tonight. You want to come? And it comes every time, it feels like. Or my neighbor who comes over and says, hey, we're going to go get drunk. You want to do it with us? What do we say to that? You know, do we just turn it off and say, well, I'm really busy. My cat needs a bath. You know, do we just make something silly up? Or do we take that opportunity to say, let me tell you why I'm living my life the way that I'm living my life. You know, let me share some scripture with you that explains why I do what I do. Because it's not of me. It's not just something that I make up in my head and say, well, I'm going to do this and that. There's a reason for it. Are we ready to do that? Let me give you a couple more. Why do you stand up for that person? At camp, we were talking with some of our boys, and we were talking about, you know, being the person who goes out and loves someone that isn't very lovable. Going out and loving the person that that everybody makes fun of. You know, and friends are going to do that. I know we have them at work as well, the people that don't really fit in very well. People are going to say, you know, why are you taking time to do that? You know, why do you get mad when we make fun of them? Do we talk about how much God loves every single person the same way? Or do we just say, I don't know, I just felt like it. You know, what an awesome opportunity to be able to share with them. The last one that I've got here, there's millions more, is why do you feel that way about this certain social issue? You know, there's so many things that we talk about and that we stand on. And I mean, how many of you have discussed politics or social issues with friends or family or coworkers? Probably almost every one of you. And you have an amazing opportunity there, we all do, to be able to say, well, I feel this way because I'm held to a different standard. Because this is what God's word says about it. What an awesome opportunity. Like I said, guys, I'm gonna close up and we're gonna sing another song. We have so many different ways we can answer questions. Peter tells us, be ready to give a defense for the hope that lies within you. My last question I'm going to ask you guys is, do you have hope? If he's saying, be ready to give a defense for the hope that lies within you, you have to have that hope in order to be able to realize what the scripture is saying. That hope that we have comes through Jesus Christ alone. And we talk about it every week and we teach it every week because it's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that matters. And if you don't have that hope, you need that hope. You need that hope. If you do have that hope, if your answer to any of these questions is, or maybe even you don't have an answer. Maybe you think to yourself, well, I'm not ready to give a defense because I don't understand. Guys, the answers are right here in his word. I was just talking to Dale this morning when we were setting up, and he had mentioned, I'd told him that I'd lost my little Bible that I usually carry around. It's gone missing. And he said, you know what the Bible says? He says, that's your sword. And I said, yeah, that's right. It calls it our sword. It's our ready defense. And that doesn't mean you have to carry your Bible around and swing it, or you don't have to open up your Bible and read a verse whenever you're asked a question as to why you do what you do. But it's about having it right here. It's about having that ready defense and knowing why we do what we do. I've prepared one answer for us that I think applies to every single one of these questions that come up and every question that you guys are asked, because I pray that you're living a life that's not the same as everyone else around you, and that you're living that life for a purpose. So here's an answer that I came up with. When someone asks you a question, this could be our response. You ready? Because I'm called to be holy, separate, called out, a living sacrifice. In the world, but not of the world. Raised into a new life, Christ-like, more than a conqueror, free from sin, blameless, full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because in Christ, I am a new creation, a daughter or a son of the King of Glory, redeemed, renewed, restored, made righteous, hidden in the shadow of His wing, protected, loved, watched over, guided by His Spirit, and called one of His own. I make these choices because I have everything I need in Christ, full access to His throne, the power to overcome, a spirit of power, wisdom, and strength. And lastly, I'm created for His glory. Nobody's going to answer like that. But guys, that's scripture. If you doubt me, it'll take me about a week and a half to go through and find all those verses. But those are things Carrie helped me out this morning. That's scripture, and that's how we answer these questions. We're prepared to give a defense because of this word, because we're these things. It's such an awesome thing, and it's such an amazing thing to have that hope. And my prayer this morning is that you guys would have that hope and would be prepared to give a defense and give that glory to God for what He's done for you and what He can do for anyone who chooses to ask you questions like that. Let's pray together. Father, I give You praise for this morning. I thank You for an opportunity to hear how You're working among people. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to hear how Family Bible Church is offering support and being that body that You've called us to. Father, I thank You for those people in here that are so willing to give of their time and resources and be able to love and support one another. Because, Father, that's what we're called to do. I thank You for being able to live life together in that way. Lord, I thank You for Your word and the awesome promises that are in there of who we are in You. Father, I thank You for being called to a standard that's not of the world, a standard that is confusing to the world, a standard that makes no sense, a standard that is laughable, a standard that we will probably be made fun of and ridiculed for probably until the day we die, because, Father, we don't do it for the praise of men. We do it for You, and we know that Your reward is greater than anything that we could ever, ever imagine on this earth. Father, we love You so much. We thank You so much for everything. In the name of Christ, amen.